Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Thursdays are a sacred place on the Tim and Jess show. Mm-hmm. People call up with their grievances. Maybe it's with their partners. Maybe it's with a friend, someone they work with. You and I will bring our own grievances.
We fight it out in the courtroom of Tim and Jess. One person calls through. They are the judge and they have the final say.
Yep, let's get into it.
Tim and Jess. You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session. I'd like to bring an argument that I've been having with my lovely, wonderful mother.
Oh.
Now, you know, when you find yourself having an argument, a reoccurring argument with your mum when you're in your 30s, you know, I'm still just her baby boy at the end of the day, because in no other instance should two people our ages be fighting about one of the most ridiculous things.
Okay.
So mum and dad, they live like 2 hours away. We go and visit when we can. It's great. Our son, he loves Nanny and Papa. And when we visit, Mum's incredible. She'll like help with food and she'll like make lunches and breakfast and all these things. It's so handy. And it's just nice to have like little breaks of those kind of things. But we are severely disagreeing on one thing in particular, and it's crust on bread.
Oh.
Because when she'll eat breakfast alongside like not just my son, but his cousins as well. So all the grandkids. And now I see this with all the grandkids. None of them eat their crust because
your mum doesn't.
Because Nanny doesn't eat her crust. So they'll eat the bit like the good, like the what they think is the good bit on the inside, and then they'll just be 50.
They don't know why they
crust.
Shouldn't be eating the crust. It's just they don't trust it
they
because
don't
Nanny
trust
does it.
Yeah, they're like, why would I do something? Like Nanny is not doing it. Yeah. That's must be dangerous, must be scary.
Yeah.
Whether it's bread, whether it's toast, it doesn't matter. She doesn't eat her crust.
Yeah.
And same with pizza. Like, gets right to the
really?
End. Like, commit to the end of the pizza.
Oh, no. See, I love a crust.
Some people are really
into it. The crunchier, the better.
Now, see, I like the ones that are, like, a little bit softer.
Like a soft crust.
Yeah, but not the cheese-filled one or anything.
No, I want one that I have to use, like, a chainsaw to, like, cut through. You know what I mean?
Jeez. Turn your oven down. I wanted to bring this to the courtroom today. 52232955. Should you eat your crusts?
Right.
What's that thing that your Bubba used to tell you about crust?
Yeah, my Bubba used to say, eat your crust or Bubba will die. That'll make you eat your crust real fast, Tim.
Yeah,
that'll make you
one of the things, normally it's like,
you'll get curly hair.
Curly hair, but Bubba will die.
Yes.
If you don't
my grandmother told me if I didn't eat my crust, she would die.
That's
so
scarring.
I ate my crust. She didn't remember it. I reminded her many years later. Do you remember what you used to say to me? And she started laughing. She thought it was hilarious.
It worked.
I still eat my crust, so it has worked.
To me, in my brain, she is the Count from,
from
Sesame Street.
Eat your crust.
I'm just all about like no food wastage.
Right.
Crust is perfectly fine. It's just a bit more burnt bread on the edge. It's just, it's like when you, like a loaf of bread completely uncooked, it's just bread skin.
Right.
Eat the bread skin.
Well, don't call it bread skin.
It's probably
that makes
not good
it
marketing.
So much
That's
worse.
Why bakers don't do it, I imagine. give us a call, 52232955. Should you eat your crust, Abe?
Dave from Hamlin Heights. Good afternoon, Your Honour.
How are you?
Very casual, judge.
Yeah, there we go, Your Honour. It's a pretty prestigious position you found yourself in again, Dave. Are you a big fan of bread and toast there, Dave?
Well, I don't mind a bit of bread, but I am a big fan of crust.
Yep.
Nice.
I'd nearly enjoy crust more than the bread.
The crunchier, the better. Right, Dave?
Well, like a nice sourdough chewy crust.
Talk
cookies and cream to me. You are just in another league.
I think, Dave, the different textures of the crust of the bread that goes into, obviously, the central part, that's some of the most fun you're going to have eating the food.
Oh, I love a bit of crust. And what are you doing with the crust that you're cutting off? Like if she's blending it up and making breadcrumbs, like that.
Nanny's not doing that.
Bernadette, sorry, mate. Your crust is staying on.
All right. Well, you take your mother's name out of your mouth. I'll be the one that's upset with it. I appreciate you agreeing with me. But yeah, it's normally, like, at least if it's just me and my son at home, I'll eat the crust. But if there's all these kids' crusts left over, I'm not just going to be gathering them like some kind of squirrel off to the side.
Tim, give Dave the gavel.
Yep, there we go, Dave. Hammer down. Appreciate it, Your Honour. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
There we go. Dave is saving my bacon there. I'll pass on words.
So if you could just talk to your toddler son and explain to him that some random man from the radio has said that he must eat his crusts now, that would be really great.
That's almost as scary as what your bubba said to you about not eating your crust, that she'd die if you didn't. So maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just say, Nanny's changed her
Nanny's
mind.
Actually eating him now.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, this is not going to be uplifting. I'm just warning you with that right now, because I kind of hinted at what I want to talk about a little bit earlier in the afternoon before the show started, and you audibly gasped.
And if it is what I think you're about to talk about, I don't know if people are ready, but like honestly, you and me might be in the minority here.
Well, I said to you, it's been a while since I've bought breakfast cereals.
Cereals, yeah.
I'm not a big breakfast girly. I've not been a big cereal person for a while.
The only cereal I buy is for my son.
Yep.
He's 18 months old, and we buy him Weet-Bix, and they're either $3.40 for like the normal size box that you would see, but his, like, the kids version's $4.50.
Oh, cute.
So that's what I go. Well,
kids version, is they just like cut the brick in half?
I have no idea. No, it's like it's got more fibers. I don't know. It's got...
They've really done you in there.
It's a dollar worth of... But it is different. When I break it in half, it does feel different.
Okay.
And I'm like, that crunch is a dollar right there. But so my brain goes, all right, kids cereals, $5.
I think, like, I know that Cozzy Lives has hit hard.
Yeah.
But
inflation, shrinkflation, all those things.
I didn't anticipate how hard it's been hitting.
Okay.
Because I feel like you go to the supermarket, you buy your groceries, you're not taking the time to stop and look at how expensive things have become, right?
Oh, man. No, when I'm shopping, I'm looking at prices before
But like, I'm not sitting there going, cereal used to be this much and now it's this much.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of it. Exactly. Especially like when you were having cereal, I assume that you were
I was not buying it myself.
You were a kid yourself. Yeah. So yeah, it's more
Kellogg's Australia have confirmed that a 650-gram box of
Cocoa Pops, like the standard ones you would see,
Is going to increase to $10.80 this month.
How long does a box of cereal last? Because if you break it down per meal, that's not too. That could be a 2-week box.
That could be a 2-week box. But I guess it could be a 1-week box.
That's a one.
Depends how much you're eating. Yeah. But $10.80. It's an increase of more than 40% compared to 2 years ago.
That's a lot.
40%.
That is a lot.
And so, look, I did a bit of a comparison. I actually found.
Here we go.
So Coles and Woolies, they release like the prices of their items. Uh-huh. They do like a yearly report.
Here's what we discovered on Rice Bubbles.
Right? So I was like, okay, I'm going to compare like the year 2000, right?
Sure.
That's when was a kid.
Okay.
Okay, year 2000 to 2025. Okay?
25 years.
So let's play a little game.
All right.
Okay?
So if it's $10 now.
this game's going to hurt your feelings a bit. Okay. We're going to go with like your most standard popular items,
All right.
Loaf of bread. How much does it go for now in 2025?
I imagine $3 to $5, you would say.
Yeah, yeah. In the year 2000, it was about $1 to $1.50.
Yeah, I thought it was about $1.50 is where it would be. Okay.
Milk, we're going to go with standard cow's milk because I know that now there's like lots of different milks.
$1? 80 cents?
In 2000, it was between $1 and $1.30. Now you're probably looking at between $2 to $3 for your standard litre of milk.
Not as much of a jump as what we saw for bread.
No, definitely not.
Good on your cows.
Eggs.
Yeah, this is bad.
Now, this is hard to compare because we've had such an egg shortage lately.
Influenza's been rocking around.
But standard kind of dozen eggs, you're looking at about... Five to eight bucks. Yeah, depending if you're going
cage free.
Yeah.
In
the year 2000, for a dozen eggs, it was about $1.80 to $2.50.
For a dozen? It couldn't have. Birds are worth more than that, and you should not be underpaying them. $1.80 for a dozen eggs? What? Sorry. I'm uncomfortable.
I told you this wouldn't make you feel good.
Yeah, but you didn't say this bad. Oh, my word. Oh, surely that's got... Nah, we can't... End of... End. Finish. No more speak. Bad.
I would encourage you to not do this comparison yourself at home because it will just make you feel really bad.
Yucky. A dozen, you say. Goodbye.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Those useless gadgets that you have purchased that you swear by, right? Okay. Other people have said to you, why do you need that? Can't you just do this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you go, no, I need this very specific gadget. Because Kmart have released a new item. And you know how much I love my Kmart, right? Yeah. I love to just go and have a look, see what Kmart tells me I need to buy.
You're so different.
I know, right? And Kmart have released this almost like, I can only describe it as like almost like a gun, right? But it's, no, not like that.
It's okay. What do you want? You can have it.
It's for your ice cubes, right? So imagine like an ice cube tray. Okay. It's like six ice cubes. But you lock and load it into this like capsule. And then you put it in the freezer and then you take it out when it's frozen and you press this like, you know, almost like a trigger.
Just stop saying the G word for my sake, please.
And it flips the ice cubes out and you can pour it straight into your cup.
Okay. Like one cube at a time.
No, all six.
Would you have to line six? Flips it up. I was thinking you need six glasses in line and it like...
No. That's the whole point that it has like a almost like a cannon. And you can tip it straight into your glass and you pull the trigger and all of the ice cubes fall into your glass.
Shoots down, right.
And so a lot of people...
It's releasing a chute, essentially.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, hey, like this is a very useless gadget because you get one cup's worth of ice.
Well, it's not useless. It's unnecessary, I think, because it literally has a purpose.
Yeah.
But it's the whole thing with like an ice cube tray is that that'll last you a long time.
Yeah.
That'll last you probably five or six
trays. A lot of people saying, hey, just get an ice cube tray that has enough ice cubes and just grab it with your hand. Why can't I just grab ice cubes with my hand?
There's a lot of those. I haven't got one. I want one so bad. Have you heard of the bug assault?
The bug
and
assault.
It's a gun.
Oh.
It's like a rifle. You can fill with salt.
What is wrong with us today?
And then you can shoot flies.
Oh. See? Useless, but also has a use. Yeah.
The one thing that I'll say that I've got of that it's not useless; it's just unnecessary. Mm-hmm. You don't need it. I have bamboo toaster tongs that my father-in-law got us, and it's like on a magnet.
That's amazing.
Puts it on the side of the microwave, and when the toast pops, you just pick it up. You put it on your plate
so that you don't have to like grab it with a fork.
Yeah, and like
that's
sometimes
dangerous.
Yeah, sometimes with like whether it's pancakes or crepes, it's just good to like have a little
nice
because you don't want to get even though like the plastic tongs, you don't want microplastics.
Yeah.
Bamboo tongs, boom, got my toast.
This is
happy.
What I want to hear about, Tim. I'm 52232955. What is the useless gadget that you absolutely love? Like you just managed to stumble across it and it's changed your whole world. I want to hear about it. My favorite gadget that I have in my kitchen is just my oil spray bottle. Because I love that I don't have... I used to love like buying the spray oil from the supermarket, what's in there, right?
But you can buy
like a specific oil spray bottle.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You can fill it with whatever oil you like.
I think it helps you not use so much
oil. It does.
Oil
absolutely,
because,
it does.
Like sometimes you like cooking and you just like pour what could only be necessary for a family of 40 and you go, whoops. Well, I guess that's just for the two of us now, isn't it?
And you go, $16? Excellent.
Yep, cool. All right, Abby in Grovedale, what is the unnecessary gadget that you love?
Firstly, I'd like to say I love my oil spray bottle as well. I do have one of those. It's fantastic.
Isn't it so great, Abby? Once you have a spray bottle, you never go back.
Highly recommend. It's also really good for salad dressing.
Yes.
but my gadget is I got it on Temu like a couple of weeks ago. And it's so the chip clips, so the reusable clips that you put on like bags of chips or cereal or whatever.
Really good.
These ones are in the shape of crinkle cut chips. And then they came in like a chip packet, like a Macca's chip packet, which has a magnet on the back so it sticks on the fridge.
That is pretty handy.
10 out of 10.
Yeah,
10
handy.
Out of 10. It's handy. It's
I
convenient.
It.
You always
you
know where they are.
Because that's the thing. Yes. Like I just use like pegs from the clothesline.
Yeah.
And then you'll be looking for one. You go, I want to close this bag of rice, but do I need to go to the laundry right now? Or if I had a little fake chip little thing that had...
And I love
that's
that it's...
That's what I was doing.
Yeah. Oh, a little crinkle cut chip. Just 10 out of 10. Sensational.
No, I love it so much. I'll send you guys a picture on Instagram.
Yes,
it's
please.
Actually the cutest little thing.
Would
ever.
Love to see it.
Thank you very much, Annie. I like that. This could be something like we could do this weekly. Like,
yeah.
What's the most useless thing you have this week?
I love me a gadget. And my husband hates it because he's always like, we don't need more things.
Yeah.
Stop buying.
Your accountant also hates it.
This is Tim and Jess.
The celebrity edition of Amazing Race Australia, for the cast, I guess, for 2025 has been announced. There's some big names.
There are some big
names.
We can
go through it. Ed Cavalier and Tiffany Hall is some of them. Melissa Leong from MasterChef. Ant Middleton from SAS Australia. Brendan Favola's in there, former Carlton player. Rob Millsy Mills.
Nice.
Stephen Curry and his brother. One of my favourite names ever to see on a list. Gretel Kylene and her daughter.
Oh,
really, really cool.
We haven't seen Gretel Kylene do anything lately.
All right, calm down. She's probably had lots going on. Hosting Big Brother in the early 2000s probably took a toll on her. It's nice she's doing something, isn't it?
Okay,
it's about time. It's about time she did something. Bo Ryan hosting again. I think this is the second or third year we've seen the celebrity version of Amazing Race. And I've been thinking about it a lot because you look at it and like, so the celebrity format is like, so one, it's teams of two.
Yep.
One of them is a celebrity. It's like someone in their family, a friend or whatever. I used to watch The Amazing Race before they did the celebrity edition, just like your average Joe Blows and Jane Wayne's and all those kind of things. And I would always go, that looks like so much fun, but I just don't think I'd be good at it as much as I would
I feel
love.
Like you would go into it expecting one thing and then it would be so much
Well, just imagine
harder.
like the pressure of if you make a mistake trying to solve the puzzles or finish the task and you get stuck behind, you go, not only am I losing, but I'm in Bangkok and I have no idea where I am.
We talked to some of the celebrities. Like, you can go from first to last so, so quickly.
All right. You and I, Jess, let's talk about it.
Like, a team.
I couldn't think of a reality show that you and I would exit faster than The Amazing Race.
You know why? Because I'd be like, let's go right. And you'd be like, let's go left. And then we'd stand there for about 15 minutes. Talking about which way we need to go, and all the other teams would pass us.
I respectfully, it's going to sound disrespectful, but I respectfully disagree. I think you'll give up after the first challenge.
Really?
I think you're going, Timmy, too hard.
Yeah.
Timmy, too hard.
That's a side of me that a lot of people don't see.
Did you, yes or no? We had a picnic in the park last week.
Yeah.
And when we came back, I chose the way where we had to walk upstairs.
Yeah.
And you cracked it at me.
I didn't crack it. I just said, really? The stairs?
Yeah.
Really?
So do you think if I
didn't
it was
sign
like,
up for the stairs.
Hey, run the length of the Taj Mahal.
Oh, there wouldn't be any running.
Oh.
I'd send you ahead.
It's not called The Amazing Stroll.
Yeah.
You know? It's The Amazing Race.
I think you could win The Amazing Race without having to run. I'd briskly walk.
I am not sure you have seen the show
I'd
lately.
Briskly walk a lot.
Bo Ryan would finish hosting to come and have a go at you.
Mm.
He'd be like, what are you doing, Jess? This is my Bo Ryan impression. Yeah. Oh, no, Bo's
a
nice
real
guy.
Good.
Bo is a really nice guy.
Go on, continue,
please. I'm not going to do it. I'm really keen. Hopefully, last year we spoke to pretty much every celebrity that was on The Amazing Race Celebrity Edition. So hopefully we can do that again.
Who do you think out of all the, before you even see an episode, who's got your vote that they're going to win?
Bronte Campbell and her partner. Bronte Campbell is an Olympian.
Yeah.
So I think there's an advantage there. And then the Middleton brothers. So Ann Middleton, the guy that ran SAS Australia. If we were competing alongside them and like they needed to get ahead of us and he just growled, I'd go, you go, bro. Hey, it's not a race to me. We're all just here for a bit of fun, aren't we? Anyway, after you. No, thank you. Teams that I feel, and also Ed Cavalier and his wife, Tiff Hall. Now
that's a dynamic duo.
Tiff Hall was like one of the trainers on Biggest Loser.
Yes.
Ed Cavalier, he's like on TV, but he's jacked.
He's also
now.
A weapon,
he's a machine. So they're the three couples, I think. And Melissa Leong. I just think She's very
just
clever.
Really nice.
Really nice, really clever.
Every time we've spoken to her, she's been really nice.
In the opposite of like being scared of Ant Middleton, if Melissa Leong was like struggling, I'd be like, I'll help you guys.
Right. And I thought you were going to say you'd along. Push her out the way.
No, you could never. Not the queen. You leave the queen alone.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.